Our Lord will give us peace once we will humble ourselves to gently live in the midst of war. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, it is an interesting fact that when reading the writings of all the great saints, doctors, fathers of the church, that very few of them take the time to write about their maybe current tribulations in the world, catastrophes they witness around them in the world, or scandals of their own times. Not, of course, that there was none of that, certainly not, since every period of history has had its many wars, scandals, intrigues, discords, schisms, seditions, and strife. But there was a conviction in the minds of those great writers and spiritual authors, according, of course, to our Catholic Catechism as well, a conviction that the world was to continue to be, after the fall and until the end of times, a place of sin, of corruption, and death as we witness every day. And did that conviction motivate them to write even more about it? No. So what did they do? How did they perceive the challenges for mankind? What remedy did they propose in their writings? And again, it seems quite disappointing when opening any great book of spirituality not to find a specific answer to the problems we see in the world. Even if we go back to reading encyclicals of popes, which of course I recommend, these papal letters addressed to the universal church, addressing more specific moral or social issues, we still have to acknowledge that the earliest encyclical only dates back to the 18th century. And so, the last recourse, and certainly the easiest one for us, is to simply scroll down our phones to read the latest news articles, the last commentaries, with the hope of finding some peace or at least some comfort, reassuring thoughts in the midst of what actually keeps feeding that inner turmoil and discomfort. Why is it that there is a common denominator among spiritual authors that very few is said about the stormy seas of the exterior world? As a simple response, let me repeat this great quote from St. Francis de Sales, which contains the entire program of his spirituality and that of all great spiritual authors who have paved the way to sanctification. He says, "Our Lord will give us peace once we humble ourselves to gently live in the midst of war." The effort of all spiritual writers was and should always be to foster in us a desire for a greater and deeper interior life. The solution to all problems, calamities, we witness and will continue to witness until our death, can only be found in re-establishing and protecting within ourselves an order lost, or at least an order imperiled. Re-establishing that order in us and re-establishing a peace that is always frail and fragile. The emphasis on inner spiritual life will be, my dear friends, the only efficient remedy against the waging war that surrounds us and tries to engulf our soul in the dark waters of pessimism and despair. In our quest for comfort and peace, particularly during this holy season of Advent, the infant King, hiding in the womb, the blessed womb, of his Immaculate Mother invites us not to pay much attention to the turmoil of the world, but to cultivate a stronger spiritual life, to find that spiritual peace through humility and confidence, with the courage to live gently, that is, with a certain composure and stability, even in the midst of war, but once again with the assurance that our Lord comes and brings peace to us, as the whole season reminds us. Let your moderation be known to all men, for the Lord is near. The word moderation, I think, doesn't seem to be the best translation of the Latin word modestia, which you heard in the introit of the Mass. Modestia in Latin refers to a certain composure of behavior. Yes, certainly a form of moderation, but adding to it some kind of serenity in life, a certain calm, which is the fruit of a serious interior life, an interior peace. The fruit also of its external consequences that one will acquire if one perseveres in his fight against depraved tendencies of our nature and in his contempt for temptations and the mortification of our natural failings. This form of modesty, or moderation, is sister with the virtue of humility, without which there can be no inner peace. From humility was born peace. And the mystery of Christmas reminds it to us every year when we contemplate the infant laying in the manger and sing, "Glory to God in high heaven, and peace on earth to men that are God's friends." And so the first attitude is an attitude of humility. Because how come that one expects to live peacefully when constantly agitated by the whims of pride and selfishness? Whether it be in our attachments to things of the world or persons of the world, to our own sensibility, to our own opinions, or even to our own image. The whims of ambition, jealousy, envy, or susceptibility will only leave the soul unsatisfied, troubled and surprised, impatient, and on the long run, tired and discouraged. And so let us first practice humility, having a strong distrust in our own successes and capacities, because well aware of, but not distressed nor disturbed by our past mistakes and sins. And with this, a strong confidence and trust in God, who continues to provide and to give us the means to resist and to persevere. And so, my dear friends, mock the attacks of the enemy, even repeatedly and with insistence, as St. Francis de Sales always recommend. Do not pay much attention to the illusions and promises of the father of lies. Redouble acts of faith and confidence in God, and do not take the crackling of the leaves and twigs on the grounds. Do not take that crackling for the clicking and snapping of our enemy's weapons. Our saint once wrote, and I'm glad I can relate to that, as he was watching beehives, and I was also in charge of trying to be in charge of the 10 beehives we had at the seminary. And he said that one day some of them fell on my face. I wanted to remove them, says our saint. I had not read St. Francis de Sales before that experience myself, and of course started slapping my face, which led to what you know. So the saints continue, "No, a peasant told me, don't be afraid and don't touch them and they won't sting you. But if you touch them, they will bite you. I believed him. Not one of them bit me. Believe me, do not fear temptations. Do not touch them and they will not offend you. Scruple now. Scruples take away interior peace because of a constant and unhealthy return to oneself. But with simplicity and joy, move forward. Move forward and apply yourself to the next task. Aside from scruple and return to oneself or unhealthy introspection, another danger is to let the worry of what's next or what will happen become a terrible obstacle to any form of courage, of perseverance, and of spiritual progress. And in fact, after giving a series of calamities and persecutions, all kind of problems, our Lord simply concludes in St. Luke, and yet no hair of your head shall perish. It is by endurance that you will secure possession of your souls. And in St. Matthew, as for you, he takes every hair of your head into his recounting. Do not be afraid then. Do not be afraid. You count for more than a host of sparrows. And now, whoever acknowledges me before men, I too will acknowledge him before my Father. In conclusion, interior life is the key to restore in us a peace which we might have lost or at least have imperiled. Indeed, God has placed us in a time where hostilities against the infant of the crib seem to be growing, not only growing, but even more and more radical. But the peace which he brings can only be found in the depth of our interior life. Peace, according to a classic definition, is tranquility of order, tranquillitas ordinis. Our lives find their natural and supernatural order when all is directed towards God, our ultimate end, the reason for our very existence. St. Augustine talks about the order of love. The order of love. Our practice of virtue depends on the degree of love underlying all our actions. Not only underlying, but infused also in all our actions. Charity then becomes the measure of all measures. An order can be reestablished in our soul if the fire of charity consummates all attachments to self and purify the precious gold of our heart, soon to be presented to the King of Kings. And from that love, from that true charity, joy is born. Although we did not possess yet the object of our love, the simple thought of this object, being Christ Himself, the simple thought of that suffices or should suffice to bring joy and comfort to our restless hearts. As of course we all know that the only thought of the existence of the loved one comforts and rejoices the lover. The very thought of the coming of the divine child suffices to rekindle in our hearts sentiments of joy and peace. Up to us then, up to us, my dear friends, to preserve that peace and persevere in it. By once again keeping a good interior life, regular and solid, without letting the noise of the world disturb or disrupt this interior order, but by continuing to fight against the deprived tendencies of our nature through humility and detachment, and through contempt for temptations, mock temptations, and practice charity. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice, for the Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in everything, by prayer, let your petitions be made known to God. And with this program, a tough program, but we are not alone, we can be assured that the light of Christmas will dispel the darkness of pessimism and discouragement, that joy will fill your heart, that peace will be brought back into your homes, despite any war raging around. Our Lord will give us peace once we will humble ourselves to gently live in the midst of war. Gloria, Hosanna in excelsis Deo. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.